I have on the phone, and I am delighted to say, the brilliant, the great, the multi-talented Sarah Jury. Sarah, good morning and welcome to Northside Today.
Thank you very much, Donnie. Thank you. That was a very, very big...
Well, I mean...
Thank you.
Nothing...
It's been a long time since our paths crossed.
It is over 20 years, I think. I was thinking Breakford & Mortimer, Bad Bobs, that's a long, long time ago.
It was, yeah. Back in the day, we had some great nights there, some wonderful memories. Yeah, I guess it must be 20 years. I mean, it's my 40th anniversary next year. So, since I did my first sort of professional paid gig. So, 20 years would be about right. Maybe even a little more.
yes, but we won't talk about that, Sarah. We will talk about the girl who I have described here as being the best steel guitar player in the world, male or female.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Who started playing at the age of 5. Now, to pick up a Hawaiian steel guitar at the age of 5, how did you even know what it was, Sarah?
Well, I'll be quite honest with you, I didn't. And that's the honest truth. I started school at 3.5. My mum and dad put me to school at 3.5 because my mum was severely ill with asthma at the time when I was little. And the doctor at the time said that the best thing would be for me to be in a school as soon as possible because my mum was very prone to having severe asthma attacks and collapsing. And they didn't think that this was very good for me to witness at such a young age. So got me into a school, very small classes, very attentive towards children, and apparently, by all accounts, I did quite well in my music lessons and started to play the piano from about the age of 3.5, 4 years of age. But our house was far, far too small to even have an upright piano in it. And it was one after a parents' evening where the music teacher told my mum and dad that they really should encourage me in music if at all possible, because it was something I really seemed to love and have a passion for. Even by this time, I was coming up for 5 years of age. My mum and dad, this was totally out of the blue. You know, I'm the youngest of 8 children, and there's no music in the family. And my mum and dad were musical. They just loved music. You know, country music was their big passion, and that's what we played in the house all the time. And so that's what I'd grown up listening to. And then on a little trip on a Saturday morning to the local music shop, lo and behold, in the guitar section, there was a little 6-string diatone Hawaiian steel, which I still have. And my dad was able to get that for me. Apparently, I went to this guitar, I picked it up, I started playing it, you know, like just strumming it and making noises on it, as it was at that time. And the salesman said, well, you know, have it on for a couple of weeks. If she likes it, then we'll work out a deal. You know, I think it cost something like maybe £30 for the guitar and the amp, which back then was a lot of money, you know. So a big investment for my daddy to make. But I had the guitar at home, and I would listen to Hank Williams and Jim Reeves and Don Williams and all these, you know, big artists on my dad's record player. And I'd sit there for hours and just kind of try and imitate what I was hearing, which I now know to be the likes of Lloyd Green and Buddy Emmons and Jimmy Day and all these, you know, heroes that I've had over the years on the pedal steel. They were all playing on those albums. And then the very first time I ever saw pedal steel live was we went to see Don Williams, the late Don Williams, in Torquay. And I would have been probably 7 or 8 years of age, and Lloyd Green was playing steel for him. And I saw the instrument, and my dad said to me, did I want an ice cream in the interval? And I said, no, I'd like one of those guitars, please.
Yeah, that was... well, I suppose, you know yourself, would you like an ice cream or a steel guitar, pedal steel guitar? Ah, I'll have a pedal steel guitar, thank you very much.
Exactly. And apparently my dad wasn't... he wasn't obviously aware of what the instrument was called and that. And at the end of the show, we went to the stage door and we actually got to meet Lloyd Green. And my dad asked him what the guitar was called, and he said it was a pedal steel guitar. He said, can I ask why? So my dad said, well, my daughter's interested in the instrument. And so Lloyd said, well, that would be a great thing. You know, there's not many, you know, girls that play this instrument. I wish her the best of luck. And I was 7 at the time, and then when I was 13, and I first went to America to play the Steel Guitar Convention in St. Louis, Lloyd Green came up to my dad after my set, and he said, I was in England with Don Williams once, he said, many years ago. He said, and the guy came up to me at the stage door and asked me about this pedal steel because his daughter was interested in playing it. He said, was that Sarah? And my dad said, yes. He said it was, and he remembered it. And gave me a little leather bag to put my picks and bar and that in, and I still have that bag today. It goes on every gig with me. It's travelled the world with me, and it's my little good luck charm. So,
yeah, and as well as that, you know, you're kind of underplaying that one as well, Sarah, because you were 13 years of age at that, and along with Lloyd Green, you also played with Buddy Emmons.
I did. Buddy actually invited me to close his, at the conventions, the Sunday afternoon set was the sacred set. You know, that was when Buddy did his show, and that was when everybody, you know, all the booths would close down, and everybody, all the musicians, everyone would just come into the auditorium and watch Buddy do the closing set of the convention. And he asked me to join him on it, which had never been done before. And it was a huge, a massive thing to have happened to me at such a young age, you know, and I was totally in awe of him and the situation. And then he went and stuck his, because he, if you remember, Donnie, he used to wear a bowler hat. That was his trademark. And he took his bowler hat off and put it on me halfway through his solo that I was playing, which I have some pictures of somewhere, I think.
Sarah, we could put some of this in perspective for the listeners. And I'll just read out a few bits and pieces. At the age of 9, you joined your first band. And at the age of 11, you recorded your first album. As you said, you went to America at 13. And from 1984 to 1992, you appeared at 13 guitar conventions, playing with Buddy Emmons, Lloyd Green, Paul Franklin, Ricky Skaggs, Porter Wagoner, and the great Gene Watson. Female Vocalist of the Year, 1995, 1996, and 1997. Worked with Eric Clapton in Dublin in 1988, and he also toured with the late Glenn Campbell and played with Van Morrison. You also play banjo, mandolin, guitar, keyboards, as well as the steel guitar. You're busy.
I think we can safely say that music has dominated my life in a good way.
And in a good way indeed, Sarah. And I suppose, like, the reason that we're chatting this morning is, as you said, like, our paths crossed 20-odd years ago. But you're back. Now, I know you come back regularly to the guitar conventions here, because I've actually seen clips of you and yourself and Philip O'Neill and a few of the lads, yes, playing. And I suppose in Ireland, for those, I suppose Martin Cleary would probably be up there as probably the number one in Ireland. And for females, in, I suppose, around the world, probably Barbara Mandrell would be there as well. But, yes, you know, and England, in probably David Hartley. But, you know, you're back here again now, and you're along with playing all the gigs, playing all the instruments, you also have your own weekly television programme.
I do, yes, I do. I do a TV show called Sarah Joy's Hot Picks, and it's on Sky 389, which is a Keep It Country TV. That goes out on a Thursday night and a Sunday morning every week, and it's doing really well. The show's been running just over a year. It kind of gets busy at times, it really does, because we try and do as much filming when we're out on the road as possible, because obviously through the summer I do a lot of touring, a lot of work in Europe with various artists and bands and my own band, and I come to Ireland an awful lot as well, working for various artists and doing, you know, as you said, guitar shows. So we try and get out on the road and film for the TV show. To make it interesting, really, for the viewers, you know, not only the music. We try and play some things that are a bit different on the show, you know, and introduce people to artists they might not be aware of or have heard of. And I guess I come to it more from a musician's point of view rather than just as a TV presenter. So I try and add some of that into the program, but it's doing very, very well indeed, very well. It does take quite a lot of work juggling it all in the air. But I'm just thankful, to be honest, that I'm still able to do it after all this time. You know, I had a bit of time off for some serious health issues about 2 years ago, and I had to take some time out, and it was touch and go as to whether I would ever play again. And that was very, very scary, really. One of the scariest times, I think, in my life, you know. And so to actually be back now and touring and playing and recording, I do a lot of session work as well. It is fantastic to be busy. I feel very blessed, very, very lucky.
Does it feel, Sarah, like you've been given a second chance, like a second lease of life?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You couldn't hit the nail any firmer on the head. I mean, it was strange. When my father passed away, which is 5 years ago this week, actually, on Friday, my dad had been, well, my mum and dad had been my rock, you know, in all the way through my career, and just, you know, taking me to all the gigs and being really, really supportive of my career through all the different phases that it took. But I guess my dad, because he sat with me every time I practiced and when I was a little girl, and he was kind of my superhero, you know. So when he passed away, that really, now looking back, that hit me worse than I actually thought at the time. You know, suddenly it was, I felt like I wasn't on a firm footing anymore. And I know I kind of hit an emotional brick wall with that, definitely. And music was great therapy for me at that time. And I can remember actually getting on a plane the weekend after my dad had passed away and coming over and playing the Steel Convention in Dublin. And it was actually in Drogheda at the time. And everybody there was just so supportive. And I can remember getting on stage, but I can't remember playing the set, if that makes any sense. It was like I kind of closed my eyes and sort of had some divine intervention from somewhere, you know. And it was very, very emotional. But I kind of had to do it. I really felt strongly about doing it. And then after that, about 6-7 months after that, I started to get ill. And my health then took a real nosedive for about 2 years. And it's coming back to it now and looking back over the last 5 years since my dad's passing and since I've come through, thankfully, had a second chance after the illnesses I had. It is. I feel very, very blessed. And even though physically I'm not, obviously, not in my 20s, so I find it a little more draining at times these days.
Ah, yes, Sarah, but you still look just as good as you did.
Oh, bless you. It's amazing what some polyfiller will do, you know.
And indeed, Sarah, you mentioned your late father there, Arthur, and I mean, I remember Arthur. He was really, as they say, he was head cook and bottle washer. He was roadie. He was manager. He was everything with you in those days. He did everything. Sarah, you mentioned Ireland, and you mentioned it a good few times there. And of course, you are no stranger. You're just back in England, having been here, but you're coming back to us again.
I am. I'm going to be at the, apparently it's the first ever Farmers Bash, which is being held at the FSE in Belfast, on the Belfast Arena on Friday night. And I'm going to be playing for the wonderful Lisa McHugh, who I've done a lot of work with Lisa over the last year, really. Played on a DVD and have done some shows with her. So I'm going to be there playing for her, and I think Derek Ryan's on the bill, Robert Mazzell, Marty Moan. There's a load of acts. The first time they've done this, it's practically sold out, I believe. But, we're heading back over to your part of the world on Thursday, and then we come back, and I'm doing something for Keep the Country TV then on Saturday and Sunday back in the UK. And then on Monday night, I leave to go to America for 10 days. Out there doing some stuff. So it's a busy little time ahead, really.
Well, Sarah, all I can say is that I'm so grateful to you for joining me this morning, and if people are wondering why Sarah was a little bit late getting on the phone. She was out doing her good deed for the day. Her mother is unwell and she was looking after her mammy, and that takes precedence over everything else. Sarah, I will do my best to catch up with you when you come back to these here shores. And in the meantime, Sarah, that remains for me to do is to thank you for joining us. And I want to play this one especially for the listeners. This is Sarah and When You Walk in the Room.